Well, hello and welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams, and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And thank each and every one of you guys listening to the sound of my voice, and I wish you peace, love, and happiness. And in these times, truth. That's what a little bit what I want to talk about with you guys today. But first of all, how is everybody doing? How are we dealing with all of this madness that's going on? It's just been emotions over here where I am. Me being in the position of being able to understand multiple points of view and multiple sides, I can understand where people are coming from on one side, being people that want to protest and people that want to show their solidarity with the family of George Floyd. But then I also side with other people that's like, man, what is all of this looting going to do? And then I had to come to the realization that the protesters and the people that are rioting and looting, they're not the same people. They're two different people, two different sets of people. One group of people are, and it's funny too, because it's like during the daytime, the protests are peaceful. Protests are totally peaceful. Nothing goes off without a hinge. But then all of a sudden at night, when they say the freaks come out at night, I think that's what's happening. It's a totally different group of people that's out at night. I mean, all these conspiracy theories, I don't know if they're conspiracy theories because there's videos, but there's videos of police officers setting up stacks of bricks in kind of key locations where they know that protesters are going to be hanging out. There's been pictures and videos taken of areas of shopping centers where there hasn't been any construction going on at all. But as soon as this started, there have been stacks of bricks just magically appear there, kind of like overnight. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that's going on. And it's very easy to get your attention stretched into many different directions. And that's something that I'm struggling with, personally. I'm not even going to lie to you, because I'm in my quest of looking for answers and trying to look for some sort of peace of mind, peace of heart for myself and for my family. You know, I'm in a phase of trying to look for something that makes sense of all of this, something that'll kind of set my mind at ease for my son when he starts to interact with this world and go out and have his own life and things like that. But man, it's a lot of hate being spewed on Facebook. It's a lot of people who people thought were their friends, and they're kind of, their true colors are coming out now. So it's a lot of arguing and divisiveness on Facebook. It's a lot of bickering and arguing and going on. These are rough times, people. These are rough times. This is the time to double down in your faith. This is the time to double down on reaching out and talking to people, even people that might not express the same views that you express. People are having what's called block parties on Facebook, where anybody that says anything incendiary or racist or anything, they're just automatically blocking them and deleting them and getting them off of their Facebook feed. I present to you another way of thinking about that. So when you do that, when you block these certain people, you kind of sequester them to hang around with other people that say and talk and think the same way that they do. And that gives that hate and that fear and that misinformation more chance to grow and flourish, because it's just being passed around people with the same points of view and the same mindsets. I would suggest, I humbly submit to you, to try and engage, try and talk, and not yell, not throw criticisms or name calling or anything silly like that. Try and engage. The more different points of views that people have, I honestly believe that people have an opportunity to see how some other folks live, and that might be able to soften their hearts, soften their minds. I wouldn't suggest just kind of clearing up your Facebook friends, is what it's called. Because if they were your Facebook friends from like 4 or 5 years ago, and you're just now seeing like where their true heart lies, number one, I believe that love will trump hate any day of the week. I believe that love is going to eventually conquer all. Like, I have to believe that. I cannot believe that all of this hatred and all of this divisiveness is going to win out over the human race. So I constantly believe that. And I believe that if you reach out with people that have different points of views and different talking points than you do, if you've done your part, even if they still reject you, even if they still talk about you, even if they still have their same views and you've tried, then after that, I don't know what to tell you. That's about it. I mean, you can't stretch yourself but so far. But like I said, there are a lot of people that are getting it. There's a lot of people that's like opening their eyes and saying, like, hold on a second. Like, what is going on? Something is wrong. And at the time of me recording this, the trial for the two guys that murdered the Aubrey kid is beginning. For those that don't know, and this was just a little while ago, it wasn't a little while ago. It actually happened in February. It actually gained national attention probably like 2-3 weeks ago. But, you know, Aubrey was the young man that was out jogging, and these two white guys took it upon themselves to basically chase them down in their truck and shoot him with a shotgun because he looked like he was somewhere where he didn't belong. Or it could have just been straight target practice for them. I mean, who knows what goes through people's minds? Like, it was an opportunity for them to, you know, maybe show off their shooting skills. I don't know. They wanted to chase down somebody and ask them what he was doing in the neighborhood and what he was. First of all, let me say, when a lot of people say racism, I think people are thinking like the whole screaming in somebody's face, the N-word, and go back to Africa and things like that. Like the in your front blatant racism is not the only kind that's out there. Saying stuff to a young black girl saying, well, you're pretty for a black girl, or something that I've heard my entire life is that people talk to me on the phone, they think I'm white, and they think I'm white because of the way that I talk. Like, if I use like proper enunciation and speak properly and not use slang and not use certain terms, then that's automatically perceived as, if you don't see my face, that's automatically perceived as a white person talking. Things like people following you around a store because, and there'd be other customers in the store, but they kind of zero in on you because of your, I mean, why else is it if not because of the skin color? If you're in a clothing store, I'm in a clothing store and I've got the manager or store associates kind of following me around, and I can clearly see that they're following me, like, trying to make like they're straightening stuff up on racks and trying to make it look like they're adjusting a sale sign or something. 30 other people in the store, they're not getting any attention. The only difference is I'm black and they're white. And I am talking about, I'm not from personal experience. Like, I've had cops called on me because I was someplace where somebody thought that I didn't belong. We even got arrested one time when I was young. It was a big group of us. Friends of mine, we showed up at a bowling alley and someone called the cops on us because they said one of us had a gun, which is absolutely ridiculous. So what we're talking about is kind of like the kind of underhanded, like, racist things, like when people say, yeah, you speak properly, you sound white, or you're pretty for a black girl, or I'm surprised that you've done X, Y, and Z. Or when even in my case also, I tell people, I've only held a gun like 2 times in my life and I've never shot one. Now, in today's time, people might look at me and say, wow, you're like 40 plus and you've only held a gun twice and you've never shot one off. But when I was younger, it was more or less a thing like, wow, you're black and you've never held a gun. Like, I actually had somebody say that to me before. And I'm just like, how are these things that are negative suddenly associated with being black? Like there's actually people that believe that the color of one's skin determines their propensity to commit a crime. And to me, that is just unreal, amazingly ignorant, actually. And yeah, it pisses us off. So people that are out here upset and destroying property and stuff, like, this is what happens when you've got decades and decades and decades of these little kind of covert actions, and we're just told to just shut up and put up with it and deal with it. Well, you can't push people but so far before they finally snap. Like, I don't care who you are. I don't care how well-intentioned you are. I don't care how cool-headed you are. If you keep getting pushed around, you keep getting smacked around, eventually something's going to happen. You're going to snap. So, just love and compassion, everybody. That's what I'm talking about. Like, instead of yelling at each other on Facebook, let's try to understand one another. Nobody wants their heritage or their background to be smudged and tainted. So I understand when people talk about these Confederate landmarks, they don't want that stuff taken down because that's their heritage. As horrible as it was, that's their heritage. That's where they came from. But from Black folks' perspective, like, that is the symbol of our oppression. That is the reason why certain actions or certain things in history have gone the way that they've gone. And they've gone pretty bad for us, actually, in this country. And you still got people screaming about go back to Africa. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I wasn't born in Africa. My parents, my grandparents, my great-great-grandparents, like, they weren't born in Africa. We were born here. I was born in Hampton, Virginia. Like, come on. It's very frustrating. I'm not going to lie to you. Being Black is very, very frustrating. Because on top of having to worry about coronavirus and working to support your family and being a good parent for your kid, you also have to worry about if you're going to make it home at night. I don't think only Black people can understand when they're driving in the car and they see the lights of the cop car pull up behind them. I don't think there's any Black person that can say that that's happened to them, like they've been pulled over and their heart hadn't just dropped. I haven't met any Black person that's been able to say that, yeah, the cops pulled me over, it wasn't a big deal. It didn't matter to me. No, that's not our lives. That's not our reality. And unfortunately, for people to realize that is uncomfortable for them because that's not their reality. So let me take a quick break. I'm going to drink some water and I'm going to come back. And what I want to talk about is a couple of other things that might be seen like as that kind of underhanded racist thing. It's not necessarily the yelling and screaming racism that everybody thinks about when they hear the term racist. But there's just these little small things that us as Black folks have to deal with on a day-to-day basis that people might not understand. So I'm going to talk about some of that when I come back. Stick with me. I'll be right back. All right, well, welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with me. And we're talking about, what it means to be Black here in America. And a couple of things that we have to go through, like, on a daily basis. And let me start with my own personal experiences, because that's really all I can talk about. So there were times in my life where I felt like I was being treated differently. And it's really, it's those small things that it makes you think, like, what did that just happen? Was that real? And you just kind of go on with your day and it doesn't bother you. From the time that being at a counter in a store and being completely ignored, but then somebody walks in who's white and they stand right beside you, and the proprietor of the store is all of a sudden, oh, hey, good day, how can I help you? And they're not talking to me. They're talking to the person that just came in the door. When you know that you're up for a job, or for promotion at a job, and you know that you're qualified for whatever particular job, but then all of a sudden there's somebody else that comes up and they're not of the same complexion. It might be somebody new. It might be somebody that you have yourself trained, but then all of a sudden they leapfrog you into the next position. And then all of a sudden they're your boss. Certain things, like when people say certain things and make particular jokes about where people and their ancestry come from, like people make animal references with Black folk. And I still don't understand to this day why people continue to make jokes referencing animals like monkeys having to do with Black folks, or comparing the looks of somebody Black to a primate. Like, haven't we gotten past that? why is that still a joke? And the only thing I can think of is it's a joke because it's passed down. It's a joke because maybe as a little white kid, they hear their parents joking about it and they think it's hilarious as a kid. So when they grow up, that joke is kind of in the back of their mind and they make it at a very inappropriate time. Let's talk about going in perhaps to get a home loan. Now, I haven't done this personally, but there have been reports. There's plenty of information on record where people have been denied a particular loan, and they're more qualified than perhaps a white family that comes in for the same exact loan, same exact house. I mean, all of the parameters would be the same except for the person's race, and the white person would get better home loan, better interest rates, lower payments, things like that, if the black family was able to even get the loan in the first place. How about cars? Same thing with cars. Car salesmen. There are certain tactics that is used on black folks that's not used on white folks. I mean, I can go on. The list is long. It keeps going on and on. Something else that I'm noticing, another troubling happening that keeps happening, or that goes on. So now George Floyd's background is becoming a question. And I'm wondering, when the police officer was on his neck, choking him out, did that police officer know his entire background? Did they know his arrest record, his previous criminal activity? I don't understand why, when something like this happens, all of a sudden the person's background becomes an issue. And something else I was thinking about, which I think is hilarious. So when something happens and they're like a white perpetrator of a crime, like back when these young white kids were going in and shooting up places, and they were a lot of those kids were living, by the way, they weren't being killed by police. But when you take a look into their background, there's many instances where maybe this could have been headed off. Maybe their humongous criminal act could have been stopped. Like the last year, some remarks were made. The year before that, they got into a fight with somebody that was black and then threatened to kill them. The year before that, they purchased a bunch of knives and they might have cut somebody or something. I mean, there's always something in a white person's background that says, oh, we could have stopped this back here and it wouldn't have been an issue. But same thing happened with black folks, and we go into their past and we're like, oh, he was arrested in 2008. Oh, he had a drug charge in 2012. Oh, he was a domestic abuse. He perpetrated domestic abuse against somebody in 2015. And then all of a sudden this person has this long rap sheet and people feel comfortable saying that, well, yeah, if he was just obeying the law, then he wouldn't have gotten to altercation with police anyway, which is, I mean, I don't know. That's a very hard pill for me to swallow, because black folks can be doing the simplest mundane things and still get accosted by police officers. Let's talk about the little kid that was in the park and the cops rolled up on him and just shot him. I mean, a little kid. Let's talk about Philando Castile, who was in the passenger seat of the car being pulled over, and the cops shot him after the cop told him to pull out his gun. So if you're not familiar with that, Philando Castile was a passenger in a car. His girlfriend was driving. His child was in the back seat, in fact. And the officer was over on the passenger side yelling at him. I don't even know why. Philando told him, I have a gun on me. Like, I am armed. The officer told him, pull out your gun and hand it to me. He was in a process of doing that, and the officer shot him. With his girlfriend in the seat beside him driving, with his child in the back seat. So there are things that go on, and it doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter if we are obeying the law or not. It doesn't matter if we're resisting or not. It doesn't matter if we have a clean record. We could be a church-going citizen or we could be a criminal. It feels like in this country that no matter what we do, we are going to be targeted. And I know that's a hard pill for people to swallow because that's not their reality. But our reality is this. No matter what we do, we're looked at as less than. and we're looked at as criminals anyway. Like, it really pains me to think that people really and honestly think that because of the color of somebody's skin, that makes them more prone to committing crimes. Like, I don't know where this thought process came from. How about this? Since people want to go to numbers and crunch facts and try to say the arrest rate is higher for black folks because they commit crimes more often, how about the white people that are just let off of the hook just because they're white? What about the numbers that people are so eager to run to? Those numbers are fudged. Those numbers are not correct all the time because there's still human error involved. There's still somebody that would be willing to let somebody off with a lesser crime, so to speak, then instead of taking somebody else and throwing the book at them, as far as the court of law goes. There are still some crimes that are just dismissed because of one thing or the other. I know a lot of black folks don't see crimes get dismissed like talking about it, but a lot of times there are white folks, they commit the same crimes that we do and they get lesser sentences. So the numbers are not correct. It's not possible for the numbers to be correct because the number where it came from was based off of a lie or based off of a half truth or based off of somebody just sweeping something under the rug. So when you start talking about numbers and you start talking about arrest records and arrest ratios and things like that, you can't trust those either. That's not a valid argument to make. Because we're all humans. We're all out here. There are people that commit crimes. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. The difference is there are some people who are allowed off or allowed with a lesser sentence, or they're 13, 14, 15 years old and they're charged as an adult instead of as a child, so that stays on their record for longer. So that when something happens later on in life, there's somebody that can point and say, see, they were a criminal. They do deserve this. This should have happened to them. And that's like what we're saying. That's like what we're hearing now. That's what we're saying. That's what's happening now. And that hurts. And that's the hurt that black people in this country have to live with every day. That's the hurt that I'm passing on to my son, whether he wants it or not. My daughter already knows it. She's older. She's out here. She sees it. And I'm trying to talk her off the ledge sometimes because she gets so upset because she sees it. And she's just like this isn't right. So, what I will say, love and empathy. We're all humans. I do not believe that because of the color of somebody's skin, that they are more prone to committing crimes. Or that they are right. That they're just always law-abiding citizens that don't do anything wrong. Like, that's just ridiculous. We're humans. We have a set of laws that we should follow. The thing is, the laws should be fair for everybody. And that's what the protests are about. The laws are not fair for everybody. So, all of this extra talk about background and police training and all of this other stuff, like, the justice system is not fair to everybody. Now, I stand with the protesters on that fact, because not only are we watching people being murdered in the street, but this isn't anything new. This has been going on for years, and that's what black folks have been screaming about for years. It's just now being filmed. Everybody has a camera on them. So it's not hidden. It's not in the dark anymore. I was watching Spike Lee, and he was talking about his movie Do the Right Thing. And if you remember, in that movie, there was a character named Radio Raheem, and he was choked out by the cops and killed in front of everybody. And that started, like, looting and rioting in the streets, because it was the same situation as Eric Garner. He was just kind of standing there, and police kind of jumped on him, was like, what are you doing here? And one thing led to another, and next thing you know, he's dead on the street. I didn't know that when Spike Lee did that movie, he did that scene. He did that scene based off of another incident that happened just like that back in like 1984. So there was somebody else that that scene was based on. It played out again in Eric Garner, and then it played out again with George Floyd. So that's what we're protesting about. I don't remember ever seeing any white guys being accosted by the cops and them being killed by a police officer. There's all these numbers that show that white people are killed more by cops than black people are. I've never seen one. That's never been shown. Maybe I'll look that up. Maybe I'll see what happens. But I mean, if you're a white guy and you're charging at police with like a machete or a gun or something, yeah, you should be put down. If you're black, yeah, you should be put down. But the thing is, black folks are not doing anything that should be costing them their lives. That's the difference. But these numbers and all these stats and stuff, you can't believe that, because those can be faked before the numbers and stats are even made up. Like, they're not showing the true picture because not everybody is truthful. People hide numbers. They fake stats in order to bolster their own agenda. And that's what it's about. But the only thing I'm talking about is equality. And that's what the protesters that's what we're protesting. We just wanted to be equal. Nobody's asking for special treatment. Nobody's asking for anything to be done for us. We just want the thing to be equal. That's it. And if you can't understand that, then I don't know, man. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know where else we can go. Because if you know that that's what black people want, is things to be equal and fair, and you still oppose that, then what else are we supposed to think but that you're racist? So, I'm actually going to leave it there. Is there anything else I want to talk about? There was something else. I don't have any notes today. I'm just kind of going on some things that have been bouncing around in my head. And I know this is a rough time for everyone, because everybody seems like we're all just screaming at each other. It's not a lot of listening going on. It's not a lot of understanding. It's not a lot of empathy going on. It's like we're all just screaming, and that has not worked. I remember watching riots after Rodney King. And good Lord, you want to talk about somebody that wasn't doing anything. That was the first time that it had been caught on video and it was exposed to the world. These cops beat the mess out of him. He wasn't resisting or anything. I mean, beat the mess out of him. And the cops were let off. They were set free. I don't know how that could happen after the video, but anyway. I mean, it's still happening. And Rodney King was like so long ago. I can't remember how long that was. But that was, it's the same thing. And that's what it's like to live in America. With this on our heads. Along with everything else that normal people have to worry about. So just think about that. Alright guys. I'm going to leave it there. Hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We're still dealing with coronavirus. That's not gone. I'm wondering how this is going to play out with everybody out here protesting in the streets. And I'm not seeing any masks. And, you know, social distancing was out of the window as soon as people started talking about reopening the country. So we'll see how this goes. I hope everyone stays safe. I hope everyone, man, go home and hug your kids, man. That's all I can do. I hug my son and try and talk to him about certain things. And of course, he doesn't understand what's going on. So, we're pouring into the next generation. Everything that we're doing here, we're pouring into the next generation. So what is it that you're pouring? What are you giving to your children, to the people that's watching you that's younger? All right, guys. I'm going to leave it at that. Sorry for being so contemplative. This always seems to happen to me when something like this happens. It really exposes what's important in your life and what shouldn't be important. But, you know, that's what we're going through. So thank you very much, guys. And I will see you in the next one.